We have a new member of our staff who just drove across the country to be with us. I have done that too, and it is amazing, amazing way to remind yourself of just how big and diverse this country is.
Yeah, we're going to continue to have people drive across the country to be with us. The drive's about 3,000 miles, depending on your route. And Peter O'Dowd made it from Phoenix, where he was news director at NPR station KJZZ. He came to Boston to join the Here and Now staff. And Peter, we always welcome guests to the studio, but also welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to the East Coast.
It's good to be here.
So I guess the first question we have to ask about any road trip is, which road did you take?
We started in Phoenix, Arizona. We made our way up north to the I-40, which took us through the Navajo Reservation, through Gallup, New Mexico, the Texas Panhandle. We got to Little Rock, Arkansas, where we spent the night. And then we started to veer up north toward Boston. We had a camping trip, actually, at Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky, which I'd never been to before. Never really been to Kentucky at all. That was a beautiful, beautiful place to stop. And then we also went to Annville, Pennsylvania, where my wife has some family. A really beautiful rural place with tons of beautiful cornfields. And then the rest is history. We kind of scooted on up to Boston because the trip was coming to a close.
When I did this, I took a further southern route right along the bottom of the country there, down through Austin and New Orleans, and then come up through Atlanta and up the East Coast. And one of the things that I took away was that you can find wonderful green chilies in southern New Mexico on the way through. But you stopped and talked to a lot of people. What did you learn?
We did. One of the first places that we stopped to do, you know, just to take the pulse of these little tiny communities in some cases, like Shamrock, Texas was the first place we stopped. And if you've never been to Shamrock, it's famous for, it's got supposedly the largest water tower in Texas, number one. It's also home to the U Drop Inn. If you've ever seen the Disney movie Cars, it's that filling station, that classic, you know, Art Deco filling station. It's right there in the middle of the town. The residents are very proud of it. Well, it turns out there's all these huge rumbling semi-trucks that come right on down through Main Street, and they one after another. And that's where I met a woman named Bree Scheidegger. She says that oil workers, Shamrock's an oil and gas town, she says that oil workers come in six-month spurts. And so she decided to start a business. She's in retirement with her husband out of the military, and they decided to take advantage of this truck traffic coming through town. So they opened up a computer repair shop right on Main Street, and they came up with a fancy name for it.
Shy Computers, Vapors, and More.
So you're also a vape shop.
Yeah.
You're getting into all, you're all sorts of diversified.
Yeah. We didn't stick with one.
Yeah.
And that was why. We didn't stick with one because we knew before we opened that it was a flux town. So
this may be an energy town, but Bree says she loves it. All these businesses are family-owned. They're closed on Sundays, and it's really quiet aside from the truck.
So how interesting that this little town, population 2,000, you tell us, you don't expect to find anything, and instead you found somebody, an entrepreneur, who realizes truckers are coming through, they have computers, and they want to smoke those, what, e-cigs?
Yeah.
For the vape, so she's a vape shop, too.
And a notary service as well.
Look at that.
But they do everything.
But how did they choose this town?
You will not believe this. They actually, when deciding where they wanted to retire, it had to be somewhere warm, and they put a map on the wall, and Bree says they threw a dart at the map, and it landed in Shamrock. And so it turns out people actually do this.
Wow.
Okay, well, you sort of did, too, in your drive across the country. So where'd you go next?
Next, we went to Oklahoma City. Never been there either. And, you know, there's these we made a stop at the Oklahoma City National Memorial.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful spot. If you haven't been there, it's the site of the 1995 bombing that killed 168 people. Make it a point to get to this place. While we were here, I was reminded by a guy named David Kaufman just how important it is to really get off the main drag when you're traveling.
It's interesting because a lot of United States, you could drive from city to city, it almost looks the same because it's all commercialized. You see the same hotels, the same strip malls, the same outfit stores. But then every place has a little bit unique character, and it's interesting to try to find it.
And if you've ever traveled this country, you know just how true that is. David is from New York City. He was on a trip of his own with a group of kids from an Orthodox Jewish school. And to the point of finding these unique insights into a place, his school visited a synagogue. And Kaufman said the boys realized on this trip that it can be a lot lonelier, for instance, being an Orthodox Jew in Oklahoma compared to a place like New York.
So eye-opening for kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you moved further to the east, there comes a point in this country as you're driving across where you realize, I'm not in the west anymore. I have now moved into the east. I saw you tweet something like that right around the Mississippi River.
Yeah, absolutely. We stopped in Memphis, Tennessee, a big sort of symbolic place crossing the river going east to west. It is where you kind of realize how huge this country is. How full of people it is that think differently than you do, that lived lives that are different than the lives that you live. My wife and I had a conversation about race with this black woman in Tennessee who was having lunch along the Mississippi River. Her name is Jacqueline Levy. And she said that all these years later in Memphis, people there are still actually talking about the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination back in 1968, all those years later. Let's listen.
When people talk about it, you can hear the tension in their voice and the deep, you know, the deep-rooted hostility and bitterness. It comes out. If you have a conversation with them long enough about the racial tension here, you would detect that yourself.
Mm. Yeah, in Jacqueline's own life, she says that she has had to personally find ways to forgive and move beyond any sort of discrimination that she's experienced.
I understand the anger, but now we know that holding on to anger for that length of time, and it gets to a point where it controls you.
You know, coming from the West Coast and from Phoenix in particular, you know, the demographics and the history are just completely different. And so you get an idea as you travel across the country just how much conversations about something like race, for instance, really do change.
Well, Peter, it's also a reminder. I mean, you happen to have a recorder and you're with public radio, but when you travel across the country, you sit down and have lunch and talk to people you might not have had a conversation with before.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like leaving your own backyard, right?
Right.
And as journalists, you know, we are told to talk to people, we have to talk to people. But there's nothing saying that if you're on a road trip and you're not a journalist, you can really find interesting characters along the way and learn something about the places.
Just sit down next to them at lunch.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, terrific. And do you mind just getting back in the car and driving back and getting more stories for us?
I'd rather wait a while.
And then come back again. And then, we're really looking forward to your reporting, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you very much.